Good morning. It's good to see you in the Lord's house today. Welcome. We're so glad that you're here. Glad that you've chosen to come and worship here at First Baptist this morning. And what a joy it is to be here in the presence of the Lord with brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's pray together as we dedicate this time to the worship of the true and living God. Heavenly Father, we do worship you. Abba, our God, we worship you today. And thank you that we can have a close relationship with you and be connected with you through your Son, Jesus. And through prayer, you've opened up access to talk with you and to commune with you throughout every day. Help us to take full advantage of the gift that you've given us. I pray that you'll help us to be true worshipers today as we sing, as we hear your word proclaimed, as we pray, as we give, that everything we say and do would be in honor of you, Lord. We worship you. We recognize your presence. Strengthen Joel as he brings your word a little bit later in the service. And bless us as we hear it and help us to respond to it. Pray that everyone in this room would be aware of your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand together as we stand amazed in the presence of our Lord.
Thank you. Glad you're here. Part of our 10:30 traditional worship. We have these cards that Karen has put in the pews, and so we've got those there now. On one side of that card is our giving app, and once again, we will always take your money. If you're happy to give it to us, we're happy to take it. On the other side, for those of you that are guests of ours, there is a visitor's card, and so hit that with your phone, and you'll then have the visitor's card there. Give us as much information as you would like to give. We would appreciate you doing that. We're glad that you're here. Glad you're part of our time of worship. Take just a moment. Walk around. Welcome your friends. Good to have you this morning.
Coming, the King is coming. I just
This month, we've been really focusing on prayer through Brother Joel's messages, through the songs we've been singing. One thing that Brother Joel brought out to us was the name that those that are closely connected with the Lord in an intimate love relationship cry out, just like Jesus did in the garden, Abba, Father. This song right here brings that out in the first verse. God, our Father, we adore thee. This is our offertory hymn today, but let it be a song of worship and praise. Let it be a song of prayer as we sing. We will remain seated until the last stanza and then stand for our morning offering. So hymn number 93, let's sing it together in praise and worship to the Lord.
Thank you. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this another opportunity to come to your house to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we ask that you be with those that are unable to be with us today. We ask, Father, that you would give them comfort, strength, and courage. And Father, be with Brother Joel as he brings our morning message. Father, be with our servicemen and women, wherever they're serving, on home or foreign soil. Pray that you would bless them this morning. And now, Father, as we come to that portion of the service where we give back to you a portion of that you've so graciously and generously given to us, we ask that you bless the gift and the giver. And may it be used for your ongoing work here within this church and in this community. For it's in your name we do pray. Amen.
So can we pray together? I don't know exactly what's going on, but Pokey had to leave. Belinda needed him to come. So let's just pray for them right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, we don't know really what's going on. We hope it's not serious, but we pray for Pokey and Belinda. Pray that you'll meet their needs and take care of them during this time. Bless the choir as they sing and Joel as he brings your word. Bless all of us. May we focus on you and your glory. Pray that if there be any here that are battling some issues physically, that you'd meet those needs, and spiritual battles, that you'd help them as they go through that, and that they know they're not alone because of your strength in them. Bless family members and people in our church that are going through difficult times as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, choir. That's the sermon today, by the way. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13, the Lord's Prayer. And we'll be looking at that for in just a moment. So we've been three Sundays, we've been leading up to tonight. Tonight at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary, the body of Christ, we will be entering our first prayer event for the year. We're going to have four, and tonight is our first one. Ken is going to be leading us, so we're going to have the choir that's going to lead us. We're going to sing. The praise team from the early worship, they're going to lead us, the ensemble. So it's going to be prayer, singing, worship. The great thing about it is there will be no preaching. So how great is that? It'll just be singing and worship and praying together, and it's just going to be a really wonderful night prayer event. About 45 minutes to an hour is what we think it will last, but we're really not that concerned about that. And just a night of us being together and praying and going through prayer. So we've been praying about that and thinking about that for 3 weeks. So we've been talking about prayer, you know, one of the things that I've really loved about this little short series, 3 weeks on prayer, is the quotes and the stories. I've really loved the quotes that we've used in this 3 week series on prayer. Today is no different. Bruce Baugus says about prayer, "Prayer is the natural impulse of faith, and it is the vigilant devotion of hope." Let me say that again. Prayer is the natural impulse of faith. Faith. All right, so when we are connected to God the Father through Jesus Christ, we've repented of our sin, we've trusted Jesus as our Savior and Lord, and it is the natural inclination of the heart, the mind, the body. It is natural for us to pray. When something really bad happens to you, what do? Lord, help. When something really great happens, Lord, thank you. It is the natural desire and inclination of the impulse of our faith to pray. And it is the vigilant devotion of hope. The world that we live in, we look at it and we go, my goodness, look at this world, it's falling apart. So what do? We pray, because it is the vigilant devotion of hope. In prayer, we pour out our heart's desires to God in adoration, confession, petition, intercession, and thanksgiving as we submit ourselves to His will. Prayer is a passionate affair. It involves all who we are and aspire to be before holy God. It's no surprise then that the full scope and force of life's passion is taken up in prayer. Those in step with the Spirit display patience and to self-control in all things. But faithful disciples also take their anger to the Lord in prayer, their frustration to the Lord in prayer, their anguish, their bewilderment, and even, yes, even their unbelief and despair to God in prayer. As we do, we might find ourselves crying aloud to the Lord, or we might find our words failing us. Either way, when we pray, we are confident that our God cares for us, that He loves us, and He always hears the prayers of His people. Yes, how great is that? One of the things that we haven't done in this series on prayer is we haven't talked about, if you'll pray this way, this is how you'll get all the stuff you want from God. We haven't talked about that at all. We haven't talked about, okay, if you'll pray this way, you'll look so good and spiritual in front of all of your friends. No, we haven't talked about that at all in any way, shape, form, or fashion. We've simply tried to celebrate in this series the fact that we have been invited by God the Father to communicate with Him through His Son, Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So today, on this last Sunday of this little short 3 week series, my goal is to be as simple and helpful as I can possibly be. This is very uncomfortable for me. The morning in the early worship, that's so uncomfortable. And I'm uncomfortable right now. And that's okay. It's all right if I'm uncomfortable. Y'all know how I preach, and you know how I do, and I write everything out, because if I don't write everything out, I'll be just like every other preacher, and I'll ramble on forever. And that's exactly what I'm doing today. Bear with me. It's not the worst thing that can happen to you today, all right? So my goal is to just be real simple and to be as helpful as I possibly can be, because I'm your friend and I'm your pastor and I'm your preacher. And so I want to be helpful, and yet at the same time realize that we're all different. We all communicate differently. We all listen and hear differently. We all move forward in our lives differently. And so the Lord moves us all in different directions, and I'm very well aware of that. And yet at the same time, I want to be as helpful as I can possibly be. Over the course of my Christian life, I have found prayer to be difficult, hard. There were times in my own life, even as a pastor, I'm the pastor of the church. I'm the guy that gets up on Sunday morning and preaches. And yet there were times, even in my own life as the preacher, where I found it so difficult to pray that I almost gave up on it. And I'm the preacher, for the love. Prayer's tough. And it's difficult. It's not that I didn't want to pray, but I found prayer sometimes is hard. The old song says about sin, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Well, that's kind of the way I felt in prayer. Prone to wonder. My mind would just wonder when I would be trying to pray. Sometimes prayer was nothing more to me than just a good nap. Sometimes my prayers were nothing more than just a laundry list of things that I would love for God to give to me, my family, my friends. So I've done just about everything that I can in my Christian life to make prayer simple, helpful, strong, powerful, good. I have practiced prayer. I've just about given up on prayer. I've read books on prayer. I've attended classes on prayer. But the one thing that helped me the most personally, this is not your preacher preaching, this is just me talking. The thing that probably helped me the most in this beautiful communication between the Father and me is a pattern of prayer. Finding a pattern of prayer that was very important and good for me, and in that pattern of prayer, I learned how to pray. I learned the importance of prayer. I learned the importance of being in communication with God the Father. And that has been the most helpful thing in my life. I'm reluctant here, because on the one hand, I want to be very helpful, and at the same time, I don't want to hear me saying, this is how you do it. This is prayer. This is how you pray. And if you'll do it just like this, everything will be just fine. No, it doesn't work that way. I found a pattern, a routine that works for me. And it's the simplest and greatest thing that ever happened in my own personal spiritual life. My wife will tell you, I love a good routine. My routines drive my wife absolutely crazy. It drives her insane. But I love a good routine. And I call this my routine prayer every single day. This is the prayer that I will pray. I will pray other things as well, but I won't miss out on this one. Now, I want you to consider just for a moment that we find in Scripture prayer everywhere. The Psalms are known as the prayer book. And so we find prayer all over in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. And so the Bible is just chock full prayer, 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 prayer. This important thing called communicating with God the Father. And those of us in the New Covenant through Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we find prayer everywhere. And yet at the same time, the Bible never says, this is how you do it. Do it just like this. We have freedom in our own relationship with the Father when it comes to prayer. The closest thing we have is Jesus talking in the greatest sermon that's ever been preached. And in that great sermon, Jesus kind of gave them a routine, a pattern for prayer, if you will. And this is what he said. I'll read the whole passage starting in verse 5, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like the preachers who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth. That is all the reward they will ever get. Do you hear what Jesus is saying? If indeed prayer for you is just simply impressing somebody else, then that will be your reward. You'll get everything you want. People will be impressed. They'll pat you on the back. Good job. Man, you're spiritual. And you'll get everything you want. That's all you'll get. But you'll get everything you want. He says, but when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. And then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on like the Gentiles do. They think actually that their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words over and over and over and over again. If I say it 100 times, maybe the Lord will answer. Don't be like them. Your Father already knows exactly what you need, even before you ask Him. So pray like this. This is a pattern, if you will. Our Father, we just sang it with the choir. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food that we need and forgive us our sins and so that we can be forgiven and we will then forgive those who have sinned against us. Do not let us yield to temptation. But rescue us, Father, from the evil one. Notice that Jesus doesn't say that this is a law, that this is a rule, this is what you have to do, and this is the exact pattern that you have to use as far as prayer is concerned. No, Jesus was just simply saying, let me be helpful to you, because I know that you have asked me this question on many occasions. Hey, teach us how to pray, Lord. And so let me offer you some help and some advice. Here's a pattern that will help you pray. These are some of the things, the kinds of things that you need to be praying about. You know, confession, honoring and keeping the Lord's name holy, trust, contentment. These are some of the things that, topics that lead to a good practice in prayer. In May of 96, I graduated with my Doctor of Ministry degree. On the night that I graduated, the professor that was in charge of the D-Men program said, now, you guys know that from this point forward, you can come back and audit any of the classes that you didn't get to take. You can audit those classes for free. And I thought, man, that's awesome. I had taken my core curriculum, and in my core curriculum, I had 2 electives, but there were many electives that I didn't get to, so I thought, oh, this is great. So for 6 years, when I first became the pastor of this church, for 6 years, every July, I would go to Orlando, and I would audit classes that I did not get to take while I was in the program. The very last class that I took was in 2002, and it was the one that I was so excited to take. It was led by a man named Jerry Bridges. Jerry Bridges was a navigator. Navigators is a discipleship ministry that's out of Colorado Springs, Colorado. And he was one of the high, he's since gone on to be with Jesus. But at the time, he was a navigator. He wrote these great books in the 80s, The Pursuit of Holiness, The Practice of Godliness. And they were great discipleship books. But then in the early 90s, he wrote these 2 books, The Discipline of Grace and Transforming Grace. And that changed my life. Now, I realize that preachers are more often than not very traumatic. I get that. And you might be thinking, well, boy, he's being dramatic today, isn't he? No. No, that changed my life. He had this concept that you've heard me say it, oh, I don't know, 1,000,000 times, called preach the gospel to yourself every day. Have y'all ever heard that? Have y'all ever heard me talk about how preaching the gospel to myself every single day changed my life? Well, boy, did it ever change my life. And in this conversation that I had with Jerry Bridges over this course of this week, and reading the books and sitting and listening to him and then having conversations with him and talking about all of these things, he had looked at the church over the past, at the time in the early 90s, he looked at the church over the past 50 years, and he watched how the church had grown and grown and grown, and how the church had become so professional. And what we did was we took all of these great things about Scripture and God and the Holy Spirit, and we compartmentalized everything. The gospel in this compartment. The evangelism over here. Discipleship over here. Missions here, ministry here, prayer here. Everything was compartmentalized. So every now and then when we wanted to talk about salvation, then we would bring the gospel out and we would try to get people saved. There's nothing wrong with trying to get people saved. That's a good thing, right? Yes, good. But then once we had the spring revival and we talked about getting people saved, and people got saved, then we took the gospel and we'd take it over here and we'd put it off into a shelf. And now we bring out of the shelf the more important things like discipleship and missions and ministry. And every now and then when we still wanted to get people saved, we'd go over here and we'd pull out the gospel, because the gospel was only about getting people saved. Boy, what a bad mistake we made. And his whole point is, no, church. The gospel is everything. The gospel is discipleship. The gospel is missions. The gospel is ministry. The gospel is prayer. The gospel is our everything. It's all the gospel. Preach that gospel, Joel, to yourself every single day. And that changed my life. And all of a sudden, what was a prayer life that was, oh my goodness, I just don't know how to do this, became sweet and precious and wonderful, because it was no longer focused on me. It was now focused on Jesus and all that He was and all that He is and all that He's given. And the gospel, every day, praying that gospel every day, literally changed me. We talked about how does that work out. I've read his book, but it didn't mean all to me. I couldn't quite understand all that he was saying. So I just kind of did it for myself. What is the gospel? And so every morning or afternoon or at night, sometimes all three, sometimes 10 times, sometimes one time, but at some point during the day, I will preach the gospel to myself in prayer. Just about every single night, when I come to bed and I put my head on my pillow, I preach the gospel to myself. Now, I fall asleep. Sometimes Janice kind of gets mad at me because I fall asleep so quick. Before I know it, I'm saying, Lord, I worship you. And the next morning I wake up and I say, thank you, Lord, for just letting me fall asleep in your arms. So, to me, it's worship, confession, thanksgiving, humility, trust, and contentment. And so at some point, typically in the morning or while I'm driving to church and when I'm in the shower or when I'm walking B, but at some point then I preach the gospel. At night when I lay my head down on the pillow, I preach the gospel to myself. I'm not asking the Lord for anything. I'm just letting the Lord know I know who you are and I know who I am. And I can't make it on my own. I need you. And so it goes something like this. This is not exactly how it goes, but it goes something like this. Lord, today I worship you and you alone. I will not worship Janice. I will not worship the boys. I will not worship anything. I will not worship money or possessions. I will not worship the church. I will not worship my position as pastor. I will not worship anything today. You and you alone are the only thing and the only one I worship. I worship and I adore you, period. Now I know who you are, Lord. I'm headed in the right direction. I've got it. I'm moving right in the right direction. I know who you are. You're sovereign God. And when I know who you are, now I know who I am. Black-hearted sinner. I'm a confessor today. Not that we're going to talk about all the sins that I've committed. Lord, I can't even tell you how many times I've said to the Lord, Lord, you invented time and you don't even have time to go through all the sins that I've committed just in the last day. But I just want you to know, Lord, I bring a confessor's heart to you. I'm a confessor. And what that says to me is it says that there's never a moment when I can be on my own. As soon as I leave the farm, I'm going to be like the prodigal son and I'm going to be in a pig pen. I cannot ever move away from you, Lord. I need you every moment of every day. And I am thankful. Lord, I am thankful that I have eternal life, everlasting life because of Jesus. I am thankful for the cross. I'm thankful for the gift of life. I am thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for the money. I'm thankful for every gift that you give and shower. I am just grateful. I want you to know, Father, I am a grateful child. I'm humbled. There is no entitlement here. I am humbled that you pour your grace out on me every single day. Good, bad, right, wrong, no matter what I go through, your grace is poured out on me, and I am humbled that you give me your grace like that every day. And I trust you for all things, everything. Salvation, eternal life, money, family, everything. I trust it into your hands. And Lord, I'm content in you. I'm not satisfied where I'm at. I know there's a lot more growing that needs to happen, but I'm content today in you and you alone. And I preach that gospel to myself every day. Sometimes a bunch of times, sometimes just once, but every day it puts me headed in the right direction. Now, I know who you are. I know who I am. I know my need, which is everything. And I trust you for it all. And I'm content in you. I pray other things, yes. But I haven't asked the Lord for anything. I've just simply told the Lord, I know who you are. And I know who I am. And I know my need. And that changed me. That changed my prayer life. And church, that changed my preaching. My preaching has never been the same, and my prayer life has never been the same. Prayer is hard, and yet we still pray. Prayer is communicating with God the Father through the Son, in the name of the Son, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in that relationship that we have with God the Father, He moves us and He changes us and He draws us and He makes us more like His Son Jesus. I've not told you how to get anything from God, nor have I told you a way to pray in a way that will make your friends more impressed with you spiritually. The focus these 3 weeks has been on celebrating the gift that God has given to us in prayer. Preach the gospel to yourself every day. Father, thank you for that powerful word. We see even in the Lord's Prayer, a pattern of prayer that worships and adores you, that confesses sin before you, that's thankful for all the gift of life that has been given, trusting you and you alone. Thank you, Father, for the gift of the gospel. We preach it to ourselves every single day. And I'm thankful for that gift because that changed my prayer life. That changed my preaching. That changed me. And our prayers today, Father, that just in a simple little sermon, just a simple little way, that maybe that will be helpful to somebody as well. For those who do not know you as Savior and Lord, Father, it is our desire that they would trust Jesus as Savior and Lord of their lives. They would know what it means to communicate with God the Father through Jesus. For those of us who know you as Savior and Lord, Father, may our prayer life be closer to you. May you draw us through the power of your word closer to you. We know you, love you, and worship you, and adore you. Thank you, Father, for the gift of life that you've given to us in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Father, I adore you is our invitation. If you've never trusted Jesus, then it is our desire today that you would do that. You would trust him and make that public to this church family. We also encourage you to join our church, join our church family. If that's the Lord's leading in your life, if you need to come and pray, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand, as we sing. I hope that you've noticed. Yeah, you don't even have to be seated. You can just stay standing real quick. I hope that you've noticed out here in the parking lot, Blake has put up 5 parking spots, which is 25 parking spots, the first 5 all the way across for 70 or 80 and above. So we're really asking, especially in early worship, honor that as much as you possibly can. And we're also opening up the grass parking lot back here behind the church. Mike Reeves and I talked to the city officials this week, and they're going to come in just a couple of weeks, and they're going to pave, they're going to put some concrete down so that right there, so that you won't have to go up over the curb, but you can drive your car, park on the grass parking lot. Several of us have already started even that day. I have an SUV, so mine just kind of goes over the curb, no big deal. But we'll have it concrete so that you can drive over it even with your car if you feel comfortable parking on the grass parking lot. If you don't feel comfortable, that's fine too. But we're really trying to honor those 25 first spots over there for our senior adults so that they will be able to just park and then walk right in instead of having to park way up in the back 40 and walk all the way down. So really trying to honor that. Tonight, 6 o'clock here in the in the sanctuary, great night. Worship, singing, prayer, the praise team, the choir, the ensemble, all going to be leading us. And so it'd just be a wonderful night of praying through the temple in the old covenant. So we're looking forward to it. Ken's been working hard on this. So we really look forward to tonight at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Come be a part of that. And then this week, our deacons will be doing their deacon family ministries. 3 of the deacons will be leading with their families. If you're a part of Mike Reeves' family's group, or Kevin Hawk, or Elliot Rowe, they will be the 3 deacons and their families, and meeting for at 5 o'clock to 8, and then going and having conversations. So, encourage you to be a part of that. All right, what are we going to end with, Ken?
The King is coming.
The King is coming. We're already standing.
Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding.